6th, 2006. Okay, the first question that, and we ask these questions, the same questions of everyone. Okay. When World War II started in 1939, were you aware, where were you, how old were you, and what did you think, how did you find out about it? Do you remember?
Well, we really didn't pay a great deal of attention in 1939. The thing that really brought it home to us was when Pearl Harbor was bombed in 1941.
And do you remember where you were?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was working at the Haggard Co-op and living at Haggard, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
We heard it on the radio that evening.
And what did you think?
Do you want me to retell you?
Yes.
That was a hell of a thing to do.
How old were you?
I was 41. I was 20 years old.
Okay. Okay. And did you think, oh, I might have to go into the service? Or?
Well, I figured that I probably would. We were already registered. But my dad had told me that he had gotten me an agriculture deferment.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1943, I told him that all my neighbors, all the kids in the neighborhood, were in the Army or Navy or someplace. And I said, I think we better cancel that deferment.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Okay.
So I went into the Army in 1944.
Okay, so were you drafted or did you enlist?
I was drafted.
You were drafted in 44. Okay, when do you remember when you heard about Pearl Harbor, what your parents might have, or relatives, or the community thought about that?
About the same thing that I did. This was, it seemed rather strange to us that a country the size of Japan would attack the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out a lot of things in the next 6 months, and so maybe the Japanese weren't so stupid after all.
Mm-hmm. So, because the war in Europe, of course, had been going on since 39, but did you keep up with that, or were you even aware of?
Well, yes, we kept up of it. There was a neighbor of mine was German, and he was very radical German too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he didn't like the United States at all, and it wasn't very long till he moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And we had a few people like that. There was one here in Dodge City, but I guess everybody had his own opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you know of anyone who was opposed to us getting into World War II?
Well, I'm sure there were, but they were pretty quiet about it, if they were, at least in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like everybody here was gung-ho, let's get it done.
Mm-hmm. So were there a lot of young men, people that you grew up with, had they joined up or been drafted?
A lot of them had been drafted. A lot of them had volunteered. We had some in the Merchant Marine, which really was not, at that time, was not a part of the Navy. It was later, but mm-hmm. It wasn't at that time.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so you were drafted. Were you married?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had been married quite a long time.
Oh, okay. Children?
I had a little, when I left, I had a daughter 4 years old.
Okay. Okay. So what did your wife think And what did your parents think?
Well, they were they all considered the idea that it was just entirely a possibility that Edwin would never come home.
Mm-hmm.
But we also said that this is not what we're going to hope for. We're going to plan for him to be back here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the supposition that I went into the Army with, that I was going to come home.
Mm-hmm. And you had been married, and you were you lived in the Ensign Montezuma area.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. And then did your wife just stay in your home? And or?
She went to live with her parents. Well, her parents and my parents, they lived 3 miles apart. And she spent some time with each one of them. And until she came down to Little Rock, where I was taking basic training. And my basic training was cut short, I think, a month or something like that, because of the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh.
And we did not come home together. I left the base on one day, and I think about 3 days later that they had everything lined up and moved all the families out.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife found out after she got home. She knew that Francis was not well when she left Little Rock. She scattered chicken pox all over the country. The train that they left on was full. My daughter never saw a stranger in her life. And she was all over that damn train.
Mm-hmm.
And it never made her sick, but I don't know about the people that she met. But, of course, we had no way of knowing how that played out.
Right.
But
so you said that the Battle of the Bulge, and so then you were, your basic training was interrupted.
Yeah.
And then what happened to?
We were all supposed to get a 10-day delay en route. That meant that we were supposed to have 10 days at home before we had to go to POE. And I had 2 nights at
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to Kansas City, all of us that got to Kansas City that night were met by the MPs. We were taken to one special place. We were taken to the airport in a bus, and that is the first time I ever flew on an airplane. We went from there to Fort Meade, Maryland.
Okay. And Fort Meade, Maryland?
We got shots and all that sort of stuff there. Then we were transferred to a port of them where they were going to ship us out from. We went to Camp Kilmer, New Jersey. And about less than a week, we were on the ship headed out.
Mm-hmm.
Now there were, of course, hundreds of us. The ones that got to the port first were put on the Queens.
And by that you mean the Queen
Mary or Queen Elizabeth, one or the other.
Okay.
They had been taken over, they were cunard ships, I think, and they were taken over by the Navy and were used to transport troops. Okay, they were fast. They went right straight across
mm-hmm.
and landed in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the ship that I was on was the USS Washington. And it was a slower ship. And they sent us down the coast and across the southern route, as they called it. And we landed in Marseille, France.
Ooh.
We had had all of our shots, the whole smear, before we left. Now, I have no idea what happened, whether they threw the whole smear overboard or what. We took all of those shots and everything again after we got to Marseille.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in Marseille for a week. And we got all on the ship and on our trip. The temperature was up in the 50s, I suppose. When we landed in Marseille, it was below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing summer uniforms. We got winter uniforms after we got there, but it was cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were in Marseille for about 2 weeks before they shipped us out. And did you ever hear the expression 40 and 8?
No.
Either 8 horses or 40 men. That's the cars that we were shipped north on.
Oh.
We were on the low end of the totem pole. Any other train that was on that line was ahead of us. We took the siding and waited for them to go by and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know where you were going?
Had no idea. Yes, we did. We knew we were headed for the front, wherever that was. But they took us to a replacement depot in Epinal, France.
Mm-hmm.
And we were put in there alphabetically. There were 3 of us with the same first name and same middle initial. We never pulled KP or anything. They come looking for one of us. Well, he just left. He's gone.
Okay. Good thinking.
But when they started calling names to go to the company, I was the last one they called.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that I was the one they wanted. there was... Do you remember the Mitchell family that lived north of Cimarron?
No, I don't.
Well, Raymond Mitchell graduated from high school at Cimarron the same year I graduated from Montezuma in 1938. His mother and my mother had taught school together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about any of them until I met him in Little Rock. We went overseas together. We did not go to the same, we went to the same division, but we did not go to the same company.
Mm-hmm.
I served at the front 10, about 10 days before he did.
Okay.
And we were sent to the 3rd Infantry Division. We both went to the 15th Infantry. I went to A Company and he went to C Company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got to see each other occasionally, but that was all.
Okay. So when you went to, let's go back a little bit, when you went to basic training, could you describe what basic training was like?
Well, they were decided that we were in a heck of shape. They had to rebuild us.
Uh-huh.
And they did. They run our wheels off. But you know, I gained 20 pounds the first 30 days I was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And I never gained an ounce after that. Until after I came back home.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, they did. They just worked the tar out of us.
So this was like physical exercising?
Physical exercise. They taught us how to shoot a heavy weapon, how to shoot a rifle, how to shoot a... Well, we handled grenades. What was that other thing? Well, it was one of the, it was not artillery, but it was the first kind of artillery. We dropped the shell down in a little old tube, and it would, it had a shell about yay big around and about that long.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, why can't I remember the name
of
that thing?
Well, we'll keep talking. You probably will remember it. Was it difficult to go in to a basic training situation? Was this the first time you'd been around away from home?
Yeah.
Okay. And there were people from all over, young men from all over the United States?
Not exactly. They were from all over the Midwest.
Okay.
Nebraska, Colorado. Really, there wasn't very many from Colorado. There were some of our men that were from Gray County went to Wyoming to train.
Mm-hmm.
And just depended on what, just the luck of the draw, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, when we left Cimarron, we were not in the Army. We were not in the Navy, we were not in anything. They took us down to Leavenworth, and there we were assigned to whether we went into the Army, the Navy, the artillery or whatever.
So you had no choice?
No, we just had you and you.
Okay. Was it hard to take orders?
I had taken orders from my dad for a long time. So no, it really wasn't a lot different.
And maybe from your wife too?
Well, we won't go into that.
Okay.
The the way we reacted, I suppose, the way we received orders, some of it was harder to take for some of us than others.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they sent me into the infantry, I just know doggone well, was because that I had, when they'd asked me, did you ever do any hunting? Did you ever live outside? Yeah. Yeah, we went rabbit hunting, we went bird hunting. And
mm-hmm.
I was used to shooting a gun.
Yeah.
Rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went into the infantry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in basic training you would have done a lot of marching.
Yeah, we were a lot of marching. We spent, we spent 2 hours a day in close order drill and calisthenics.
Mm-hmm.
Close order drill was to get you used to receiving orders and acting on them immediately.
What kind of orders would you be receiving? Like
right face, left face, to the rear march and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you carrying a pack?
We were always wore a pack.
Okay, and what would be in that pack and how much would it weigh?
We'd figure at least 40 pounds.
Okay.
And we carried a rifle. That we lived with that darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to be able to run a mile with that full pack and our rifle. When we got to the end of the mile, we had to hand over hand up a wall and down the other side, and then go 100 yards further on. They taught us to cross a river on a rope. Hadn't thought about that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I say on a rope. We walked on one rope and held to another one.
With the pack on?
With the pack on. With your rifle over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you said that you gained 20 pounds in addition to doing all this exercise. Mm-hmm. The food must have been good.
Well, the food was, I won't say it was outstanding. We ate anything that was put before us. We were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I had never had that kind of exercise before. None of the rest of us had.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into the Army, I weighed 120 pounds. I had been working down here at the Dodge City Co-op. I was manager of the feed mill. We would manage, we would move about 36 tons of feed in and out of the mixer every day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was doing hard work all the time,
mm-hmm.
but it was repetitive, just with my arms.
Mm-hmm.
The other was with my legs, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
We were regular, we slept regular, we were up at a certain time, we ate at a certain time, and all that.
Mm-hmm. What, now, did you have duties other than basic training that you had to do? I mean, like KP or anything?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We all had to take our turn at seeing everybody got fed.
Mm-hmm.
There was so many of us, that was not a hardship.
Okay. Did you have free time?
Yeah.
And what did you do during that free time?
Well, the first month, we were pretty well restricted to base, that we could go to the PX, we could go to what do they call that place? And we would go and play pool or play cards or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month later, at the end of the month, my dad and mother came down to see us. My wife had moved down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would get off at the end of the week and things like that and have the weekend free.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't get very far away.
Mm-hmm.
They knew where we were all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And living in Little Rock, Arkansas was a little bit different. We learned an entirely new way of life.
Okay. And what would that have been?
Okay, we lived in we had never lived in an apartment before.
Mm-hmm.
We'd always lived in a house. Okay, well, my wife got an apartment over a restaurant, which was not bad. It was a nice mm-hmm. apartment.
But you ate and slept on base.
Yeah, until the weekend, and then we would eat wherever we wanted to.
Okay.
But cockroaches. That's the thing that we run into at that apartment. Well, not just at that apartment, but every place there in Little Rock. One day it was after we'd gone to bed one night. My daughter was sleeping in the living room, we were in the bedroom, and we heard something. We couldn't imagine what it was. My wife said, "Oh, it's a mouse." And Francis commenced to holler, and it was in the wastebasket and couldn't get out. And that was the biggest cockroach I ever laid eyes on.
Ew.
It was as big as a mouse.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, they were all over.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said when she got down there, Opal told her, says, "Don't open your suitcase other than just to get something out of it and then close it back up. This place is lousy with cockroaches." And Dad and my sister came down there a little bit later. And Mother stayed there for Mother stayed there for a week, I think it was. And she didn't stay in Little Rock. She went out to my brother-in-law's place. He lived out, oh, I suppose it was 20 miles south of Little Rock. And it was a pretty nice place. Mm-hmm. And she went out and stayed there, and then we went out on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you then were shipped out, taken to the front, did the training that you received in Little Rock, was it adequate?
I would say it was. We didn't know what to expect, so I suppose yes, it was. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that we had to learn on top of what we had already learned. There were a lot of things we had to learn.
Like what?
Learning to stand guard. And having some idea of why you were doing that, where you were doing it, and what you were supposed to watch for. Mm-hmm. That was something we had not had to do in our basic training. Mm-hmm. We'd had guard duty.
Right.
But yes, this was an entirely different proposition. Mm-hmm. And anything that moved would just scare you to death. Mm-hmm. But one thing about it, they was somewhere around there to help you. And so we got along pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What were your first impressions as you got on that one train to go to the front and then you arrived at the front?
We were packed in there so tight. There was no way you could eat, sleep, or anything else without either getting in somebody else's plate or somebody else's sleeping bag or something. Mm-hmm. It was crowded.
How long did it take you? Do you remember?
I think it was about 5 days, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I know that the one town that we went through, where we stopped for quite a little while, waiting for another train to go by, was León. And there was snow that deep along the sidewalks. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like this is going to be a happy thought when we get up there. Well, the snow was not quite as deep where we landed, but we were in the snow for 2 months after that.
Okay. And was fighting going on?
Yes.
Okay. So could you describe a little bit about that experience?
Well, we had tanks and tank destroyers, heavy artillery and things like that leading the way for us. But you learned what a bullet sounded like going over your head, too, mm-hmm. or going beside you. It just popped like the dickens. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ever sure whether I ever killed anybody or not. Mm-hmm. Oh, I shot at a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't know whether I ever killed anybody or not.
At this point, you were pushing the Germans back, is that right?
When we came back off the line, somebody else was taking our place, and we were getting ready to, preparing to cross the Rhine River. Mm-hmm. And we crossed the Rhine River, I think it was in the 1st of April. When we got across the Rhine River, they put us on tanks, tank destroyers, trucks, and started us down the Autobahn, and we were picking up troops. Foreign troops coming in. They were coming up by divisions, mm-hmm. and they wanted to know where to go, what to do, how to get out of this. Mm-hmm. And we just said, well, there's somebody back here that'll take care of you.
Hmm. So what was the Autobahn like?
It was a four-lane highway. but it was not divided like I-70 is. Mm-hmm. It was four lanes, two going this way and two going that way.
Okay.
And no speed limit. Germany never had a speed limit at all for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I ever rode at 100 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm. Was it just war traffic or
That was about all there was at that time.
Okay.
Now, the